Growing up in my dad and mom's house, my dad instilled, rather hammered in us boys, me, Jared, Logan, the difference between being a leader and a follower. He'd always say, he said, "Robbie, you're gonna be a leader, or you're gonna be a follower? You're gonna be a leader, you're gonna be a follower." Always. I mean, you know, every dad or mom has these sayings that they have. That was one of them. But in the context of that question, he wasn't saying that we don't or I don't follow people. He was saying that we must lead those around us, but at the same time, we must follow or identify those around us who are doing what is right. And then we partner with them, right? Because I follow my dad, follow my mom. I got to do that. And so he said, "You're going to be a leader or you're going to be a follower?" And so I don't know about you, but I want to do the right thing. I don't want to miss out on what God is doing by doing my own thing. And whether that's my own sin in my life that will hinder the testimony of Christ and bring a reproach to his great name that we just sang about, or whether that's my fulfilling my own agenda or my own pursuits. And when we do that, we get distracted. We get distracted from living out our full potential, which is what we learned last time, living out our full potential in Christ. And so the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul said this in Philippians 3:17. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark or consider them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So I ask you, how have you been doing? How are you at following Christ? How have you been following Christ? The word follower is defined as a person who moves or travels behind someone or something. So do you even know where God is moving? Is the Spirit of God stirring your heart to do something? Is he calling you to reach out to someone specific in your sphere of influence to minister the gospel of the grace of God? Is he stirring you? Do you know where God's moving? I know what it is to be apprehensive or fearful to reach out to someone who God is clearly encouraging me to engage with. And I don't think there's much worse of a feeling of knowing that I missed out on an opportunity to either plant a seed or reap the harvest. I quoted this last time, but the pain of falling short is nothing to be compared to the shame of stopping short. Let me say that again. The pain of falling short is nothing to be compared to the shame of stopping short. So no matter where we are in our walk with Christ, I think we would all say that we want to finish well, right? We want to finish well. And Paul, knowing the adversities that would come before him, the adversities that he would face, look with me at what he says. I asked you guys to get there and I didn't. Acts 20, look at verse number 24. Paul says, recognizing the adversities that would come, he said, "But none of these things, none of this adversity, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might," what? "Finish my course with joy." And then he says, in the ministry, "finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ." And what was that? "To testify the gospel of the grace of God." So I want to ask, how's it going? Are you following the course where God wants to move you? And so this is where the bike comes in. Kind of want to do an illustration. I saw recently and I wanted to use it. I think it's good. Just call it the bicycle. You'll take away that this is this kind of an analogy, a picture of accountability. It's a check-in, right? So I'm not as an avid biker as Brother Don Brady in here tonight. Is he here? No? Okay. Some other guys I know do biking, but you've got the front wheel here. And that's to set the direction, right? So this directs which way you're going to move. So I associate this with how's it going with Jesus? Do you know what direction he wants you to go? Are you reading his word? Are you praying? Do you even know what direction he wants you to go? But not only the direction, but once you find what direction God wants you to head in, it's not good enough to just point in the direction. You got to move, right? You got to move. And so this back wheel, this represents your relationship with God, your love for God, love for Jesus. But this back wheel is your love for others. And so as you fall in love with Jesus and he sets the course of your life, you got to get on and you got to move. You got to move. And as that love for Jesus Christ spills over in your life, you're going to move toward people to show them that love. So I want to bicycle with you. I want to check in. Do you know the direction God wants you to move? How are you in Jesus? Have you got on the bike and started moving? It's not enough just to know the direction. God's given us his word. He's given us the direction. We've got to obey. We've got to move. Enough for the bike. In our study tonight, I want us to see what God is doing and what our response should be as followers of Christ. We know after the cross work of Christ, after his ascension, and obviously most notably by the revelations given to the Apostle Paul, we know that today God is working through the church, the body of Christ. Colossians 1:24 teaches us that. And Paul said, he said in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." We just sang that last song. It goes perfectly. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But hearing the powerful and the amazing things that God has done over the centuries through the church, go read church history. A lot of stuff has happened. Holy Spirit has moved a lot of people. God's word has challenged a lot of people to do a lot of things. But even the church history that we can go to, even God's word of the men of God that have laid the foundation for the church, which is Jesus Christ, there are believers still who don't actively engage in God's commission to reach the lost and the dying with the gospel. Go with me to Acts 26, Acts chapter number 26. So Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God." So the Apostle Paul, Acts 26, verse number 17, Paul is the chief enemy of Jesus Christ at this time, right? This is one of his accounts of his conversion. But he's the chief enemy of Christ. And Jesus reveals himself from heaven, says, "Hey, bud, what's going on? You're not following me. Is that you, Lord? I thought I was following you." And so Paul gets extended something he didn't deserve, for which he said he's a pattern, right? The grace that was extended to him. He didn't deserve it. But Paul was revealed something by Christ on that day, and he says, delivering thee, verse 17, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you." Why? Why is he sending Paul to the Gentiles? To open their eyes. They're blind. They cannot see. They cannot see their spiritual condition. So he said, "I'm going to send you, Paul. I'm going to let you reveal to them the truth. To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me," that is in Christ. And so over the years, as believers, we make excuses. And I'm not excluded from that group. I'm included. We've made excuses. But what does God's word say about our excuses regarding reaching out to people? From God's word, I want us to see that God is calling, we read it tonight, the nations, let the nations sing it louder. Let the Gentiles, let the peoples of the earth sing of your great name. And so he's calling all the nations, and that's the people of the nations, to obedience of faith for the glory of his great name. Romans chapter number 1, please. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Look with me at Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 5. Verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Why? For obedience to the faith among all, what is it? Nations. Why? For his name. For his name. God had a purpose. God had a plan. And Paul was part of it. And I want to show you this. And God is so serious. This just blew me away. God is so serious about redeeming and restoring mankind that even he records a list for his own accountability for this mission. Look on the screen at Genesis 10, verses 1 and 32. He says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And unto them were the sons after the flood. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. You can read Genesis 10 if you want to. We're not going to tonight. But he lists the generations of the people from which all the people groups of the earth would spread. So God records it because he's going to call them back. He desires to call them back. So what are our excuses that we have towards God's desire to reach the peoples of the earth? Number one is, I think our first excuse is we say, I haven't been called, or I'm not sent. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? He told Timothy in the second letter to him that God the Father, and look on the screen, God the Father, who hath saved us, and what is it? Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. He's called us. Remember, he's invited us to take part of this. He's called us. He's called every one of you. He's called me. No believer is excluded. You see, God has called the nations, the tribes, the nations, the people groups. That's what that word nations means. To obedience through the faith that is found in Christ for the glory of his great name. Let's read Romans 1, verse 5 through 7. 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that those who have placed their faith in Christ are the called. Are the called. In verse 7, Paul says that we are called to be saints. The word saints here means to be consecrated. Okay? This word saints here, he says, called to be saints. And that word saints means to be consecrated. Well, the word consecrated means to be dedicated to a divine purpose. Saved us for his purpose and grace. Do you remember the divine purpose that we've been given? 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, right? We've used this over and over. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ in his stead. He is not here on the earth. Therefore, he is filling people with his Holy Spirit by those who place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross. And as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, he says we've been given the ministry and the word of reconciliation. He's committed it to us. He's entrusted us with the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't declare it, who's going to do it? How are the nations going to sing it louder? How are people from the nations going to surround that throne in the end if we don't go? We don't open our mouth and declare it. But remember, we have an adversary. The previous chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, says that if our gospel be hid, it's not hid to those that are lost. Or it's not hid to those that believe. It's hid to those that are lost. I messed that whole thing up. That could be heresy. Let's go back to my notes. It's right here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? In whom the God of this world hath blinded. There it is, right? He's blinded. So Jesus Christ says, Paul, I got something for you, man. you're going to go and you're going to open the eyes, because Satan, my adversary, doesn't care about these people. And my son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross so that they could have open eyes, so they could have forgiveness of sins, so that they could be reconciled and brought back into a right relationship with me. Go, I'm sending you. You see, Paul had a great desire to see these believers whose faith had been heard throughout the Roman Empire. Pastor Dan mentioned the Thessalonians. Look at these Romans. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the what? Whole world. Well, the whole world at that time, probably as we know it, is the Roman Empire. It's known throughout the whole world. Not just there in Rome, the whole world. If you would look up on the screen, this is the map of the Roman Empire. The outline in red, that's, so when he says your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, that's where it's known. That's where it's known. However, the gospel was, Paul said, I want to come see you guys. All right, I have a desire to see you. But I have a priority. God's given me something to do. Jesus has asked me to do something. If you would, look at Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. Look with me at verse number 10. He says, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Go with me down to verse number 14. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach. I am ready to declare the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I'm going to come to see you. I'm just going to be passing through. I'm going to let you know about this gospel. All right, we're going to have this mutual faith. We're going to make sure everything's okay. You're going to refresh me. We'll look at that later. And so Paul wanted to come see these people, but more importantly, he was on a destination to take the gospel to the nations. To take the gospel to the nations. Go with me to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, look at verse number 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of the good news. So he says, how beautiful are the feet of those that go and preach the gospel of peace. How shall they hear unless someone be sent? Well, Paul writes to the Ephesian believers when he is describing in the sixth chapter about the armor of God. And this is what he says about our feet. He says that our feet should be shod or should be bound with readiness, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So as we go out and we wage this war that is not against flesh and blood, it's not against other people, it's against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the war. And so he says, as you engage in this battle, make sure your feet are shod, they're bound. The preparation of the gospel of peace. We're sent, we're called, all of us. You don't have to wait around for some calling. We're all called. We're all called to be ambassadors. From God's word, I believe we've seen that we're all called and all sent. We've been invited by God and challenged to live a life on mission to reach the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. In fact, this is the whole reason that I can see why Paul writes this letter to the believers at Rome. It's about the gospel. And most of us know that if you want to understand the gospel or its doctrinal implications, right, you read Paul's letter to the Romans, right? It's all about salvation. It's all about what salvation brings, what Jesus Christ did to the cross, and what we receive because of that. And so this was his missionary letter to update them on his work. Remember, chapter 1 says he was given that so that the nations would come to obedience because of Christ's great name, right? And so this is to update them on how that's happened, or how that's gone. Look with me at Romans chapter number 15, and look with me at verse number 19. Paul says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Chapter 20, or verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Look with me at verse number 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So Paul says, I've fully preached the gospel in the places that I've already been. If you would pull up the other map. So I know it's real busy with a lot of things. Just look at the landmass, if you will. But you've got Galatia over here. You've got Jerusalem down here. You've got where Paul started off in Antioch. And so he's gone throughout over here. He's gone to Thessalonica, Apollonia, Philippi, Berea, Athens, Corinth. So Paul has been all over the place. And he says, I've preached the gospel all the way up to Illyricum, way up here. And he's writing to the people right over here in Rome, Italy. So he says, I've fully preached it. I got no more place here. I'm going to come to you, but I'm just passing through because I'm going to Spain, because they haven't heard it yet. They haven't heard it yet. So this leads me to the second excuse I think that we see is, besides people saying I haven't been called, they say, I don't have a burden. I don't have a burden for the thumb people. And you're like, thumb people, hang on, I'm going to explain it. Go ahead to the next slide. The thumb people, all right, go ahead and do all the clicks. Just go ahead and click all of them. So the thumb people are tribal people, are Hindu people, unreligious, could be atheist, Muslim, and Buddhist. Those are the five dominant religions besides Christianity that are found in the world. Right? So some people say, I'm just not called to those people. You mean the Gentiles? Yeah. Those are the other false religions that make up the majority of the world. Go to the next one. All right, this is a map of the world. Go ahead and do the click. All right, this represents still unreached areas. All right. Next click. This is where the gospel has gone. Next click. This is what is known as the 1040 window. Okay? Latitude, longitude lines. This is the 1040 window. This is where the majority of those thumb people live. Okay? I'm going to give you some stats about this 1040 window right here. Two-thirds of the world's population live in that window. 66% of the world's population live there. More than 88% of the world's unreached people still live in this area. It's the heart of where the majority of those false religions I just showed you are dominant. Only 2.4% of our missionaries are located in this area. Currently, only 1% of Bible distribution is directed at this window. 66% of the population, 88% of the unreached people, and only 1% of the Bible is being translated in these languages. It's the unreached. Over the years, for every dollar given in U.S. churches, only one penny, or sometimes they say a half a cent, goes to reaching this area regarding missions. So every dollar contributed to the church, I'm not talking about Crossroads, all right, I'm just talking about body of Christ as a whole. All right? Speaking, it's bigger than just Crossroads. it goes to reaching this window. And here's the other sad stat. I just told you 2.4% of our current missionaries on the field are in this area. Only those that continue to get deployed, right, to the field, 1 out of 10 go there. 1 out of 10. Do you guys see the imbalance that we've created? We've made the excuse for far too long, and if we don't answer the call, the gap will only continue to widen. So we've got to reach this generation. We've got to do what we can do. And one reason is that they say that there's about 6.67 something billion people in the world currently, which is more than all the people combined who have lived and died in past history. So what I'm saying is that we have a great responsibility. This means the body of Christ has the opportunity and the responsibility to influence the eternal destiny of over half of the people who have ever lived up to this point right now. Half the people who have ever lived up to this point. And so some people say, I don't have a burden for those people. God did. God had a burden for them. Look with me at Romans 15. Look at verse number 8. Paul says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Made unto the fathers, Israel, right? But he keeps going. And that the what? Wow. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will continue to or confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. I just read from you verses that come from the law, from the wisdom books, from the Psalms, and the prophets. It's not just a New Testament idea or even a Pauline thing to reach the Gentiles. He just commissioned Paul to say, hey, I need you to get this done. So Jesus Christ came so that Israel would know and the Gentiles, so they could praise his great name. Praise his great name. And he desired to use Israel. And in Romans 11, 11 through 13 teaches us they didn't get it done. Because of Israel's fall, that the riches of the have come to us. And we've been imparted salvation because of that. Hallelujah. Not only did God have a burden for these people, and you just read it, Paul had a burden for these people. Look at Romans 15, verses 15. He says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly. Actually, let's go up to, verses 15 is fine. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. So he's talking about the summation of this entire book. I've written to you in some sort. This doctrine of soteriology here. This book of salvation. This book about the gospel and its implications. I've written to you in some sort to put them in mind of the grace that was given to him. Remember, Paul says in Ephesians, a dispensation of the grace of God was given to me. He's writing to let them know about that. So Paul had a burden. Look at verse number 16. Why? That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Just like Christ was to Israel, Paul to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul desired for these people to be reached. And he speaks about it in this, talking about his ministry or being a minister, talking about being an apostle, right, to the Gentiles. And he speaks kind of in this Levitical context. He's talking about the Gentiles as this offering before God. And Paul desired that we would be that sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God, that we would be the good testimony that we should be. Look on the screen at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace, there, sanctify you wholly, and pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to dedicate us, dedicate the Gentiles as offering, as acceptable and sanctified and set apart by the Holy Ghost. So God had a burden. Our apostle had a burden. I'm gonna go with, it should be our burden. Which leads me to my third excuse. Why go to the nations when there's still a need at home? Well, number one, because as we saw on the screen, there's still unreached people. And not a lot of people are going. So if darkness is gonna become overtaken by light, what has to happen? Gotta get the light there. You gotta shine the light. Darkness isn't just gonna become light on its own. It's the absence of light. And so darkness permeates the earth and God's light must shine. Today there are 6,500 unreached people groups that have not heard the gospel of Christ. Over 6,500 people groups. Let's read what Paul says to these believers that he's not met these Romans, right? Look what he says in Romans 15, verse number 14. He says, and I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren. He's persuaded about something. That ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. When he says full of goodness, he says they have the virtue of benevolence. They seek the welfare of others, just as we've been trying to learn, right? Loving others. They're doing it. Paul says, you're doing this. You're full of goodness. He says, you're filled with all knowledge. He says, they understand both the general and the specific things that God is calling them to do. He says, all knowledge. He says, able also to admonish one another. They're able also to warn and to encourage the body. Paul says, you're good. I'm gonna come to you, I wanna see you, but I don't need to come there. You already got the gospel. You already know the good news. I gotta go to those who don't know and haven't heard the good news. But just so you know, I wrote a couple chapters so you can read. Let's read verses 19 through 24. He says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. He says, I've been wanting to come to you for many years, but I got this thing I gotta do. It's called the gospel. I gotta tell people about it, and not everybody really likes it. So I've been hindered a little bit. Verse 23, but now, having no more place in these parts, remember, because he says, I've fully preached the gospel where he has already been. And having a great desire these many years to come unto you, verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my journey, on my way, thitherward by you, if I be first somewhat filled with your company. So I want to identify a couple things here that I see. Number one, Paul says that he strived to preach the gospel. The word strive here means to be ambitious. He said, my ambition was to strive earnestly to preach the gospel. My aim, my target was the gospel. That's what Christ called me to do. It's the gospel. And Paul's aim to go where no one had gone to preach the message that they had not heard. We see a couple things. Look at verse 20 again. He says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I think we have a little bit of a distinction maybe where Paul is saying the difference between maybe evangelism, right? And mission. Evangelism is like crossroads, right? There's light here. So we need to evangelize. We need to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. But there are some people who need to go on mission to go where Christ has not been named. There's places where he hasn't been named. And so Paul says, I'm going to you. I want to see you guys. But remember, you're doing good. I don't need to hang out that long. So I want to get there refreshed. I want to share some things with you, share some things with me, and hopefully you guys will help me get to where I need to go. Evangelism is reaching more people. Mission is reaching more peoples. Verse 21 distinguishes between the reached and the unreached. Look at verse 21. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. So Paul's saying, I got to go to these people who Christ hasn't spoken of. They haven't heard of him yet. So there's reached people. He says, you're among those people that are reached. I don't got to go to you. Got to go to where the people who haven't heard yet, the unreached. Then he also, in verse 24, distinguishes between goers and senders. Look at verse number 24. He says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward. What are those two words? By you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. To me, I see that Paul's kind of letting him know about the update, where he's going, what he's done, and saying, hey, I got to get to Spain. I'm coming to you. I'm hoping you'll help me in this journey to get to where I need to go. So there's people who send, there's people who go. There's people who send, there's people who go. Verse 24, I think he also distinguishes between something that's important, but then also things that may be a priority. Look at verse 24 again. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come unto you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I may be somewhat filled with your company. Filled with your company. It's important for us. It's very important for us to fellowship with believers. Very important. Can't have accountability without it. So he said, I'm coming to you. I want to meet with you. I want to be in your company. But the only reason he was coming and the reason how he's going to stop and post up for just a second was that there was something that was a priority of his, something that God placed as a higher priority, which was the gospel. The gospel came, the grace of God came to Paul, interrupted his life, and the gospel given to him had a direction. All peoples. All peoples. If you would, go to the next slide. What I did is I pulled up a map of the area codes. I think this is the 32119, which is where the church is located here. This long one is 32118. You got right next to us going north is 32114. I live in that area code. You also got 32114, 32117. Anyway, how many of you guys live in 32114? Anybody? 32114? Okay. In 32114, there's 222 international households that I know about. And it's updated every 3 months. I just pulled this up a couple days ago. How many of you guys live in 32118? 32118. 32118, 285 households, internationals, among us. How many in the 32119? That's the church's area code. A lot more hands. 32119, 193 households of internationals represented. You can see we're hundreds, if not 200s, in each of these area codes, or zip codes, not area codes, zip codes. Zip codes. Go to the next slide. This is Port Orange, because I know we have a lot of people in Port Orange. There's three standard zip codes, 32128, 32127, and I'm blanking on that one. I think it's 32129. Yeah. How many 32127s do we have in here? Okay. 32127, 221 households. Remember, I'm saying households. I'm not saying people. I'm saying households. All right, how many 32128s? 275 households of internationals. 32129. So everyone we have represented, every zip code we have represented. 32129, 251. So if you total, and I'm not including West Volusia. I'm not even really including 32124. I'm not including Ormond. Really, Daytona Beach, Port Orange, because I think that's really our reach. I know we have some people from Ormond. I'm not trying to exclude you. I'm just saying that's what's close to the church, right? We're thinking about reaching people and, you know, and come hear the gospel, and they need to come hear truth, and we need to go. If you add those up, that's over 1,700 households of international families among us. And you can just read, if you want the Excel spreadsheet, it'll be real long. Buddhist, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, 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 Hindu, Buddhist, Buddhist, Shinto. Because they have to identify themselves. So we got to go. People got to send. But what I'm saying, maybe you're in a preparation. Maybe God's moving. Maybe he's asking you to do something. But what I'm saying is, man, the nations, they're right here. The nations are right here. And I'm not getting into politics and all that. The nations, they are coming here. We read the statistic, remember, about international students. Over 80% never crossed the threshold of an American home. I'm talking about a Christian home. The nations are here. What are we doing? And I'm not going to, I have some ideas. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about those later. Pastor Dan collaborate a little bit. But it cannot be Pastor Dan's idea. Cannot be Pastor Shannon's idea. Cannot be Pastor Rob, Pastor Clint. Cannot be anybody who's seen as leadership in the office. God has created all of us in his image, correct? And in so doing, he has given us creativity. Right? That's what distinguishes, one thing that distinguishes us between animal kingdom. All right? You don't have a zebra waking up every day going, am I black on white or white on black? What am I doing? I don't like this. My patterns are going on. Like, they can't change that. We have the only ability, right, to see something in our mind and then to create it. We're the only ones. The only part of God's creation that can conceive something in our mind and then go and make it happen. So I'm asking you, I'm not saying let's create a program. There may be something that happens. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying who is in your network that you are in among right now? That God is calling you. He's stirring in your heart. Remember, we're all called. You don't have to wait for the, hey, Robbie, you need to talk. Right? The Spirit, I think, will impress us to do that. I definitely think that. Especially if we're praying, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? And then I have to be spiritually aware and open my eyes. Remember when he talked to the disciples after the woman at the well? He said, open your eyes, guys. You're just in the city. Open your eyes. We got to see it. We got to see it. And so if we're going to see the light of Christ extend across the world, then we must come together to accomplish something that is greater than even we could imagine. Be creative. Think of ways to just engage people. You're creative. God's designed you to do things. Let's close with Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15, 5 through 7. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. So being like-minded. Why? That ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. If we're gonna reach people, you gotta be united at least over one thing, that Jesus Christ is the only way for transformation. Amen. The only way.